Well, good morning, and a happy new year to you all. Today is called the second Sunday of Christmas, so we're not quite done with Christmas yet. Actually, Christmas is a season. It's a 12-day season. We might think that that song, the 12 days of Christmas, was just kind of a silly song, but it's actually, in the ancient church, it's called Christmastide. So Christmas begins on Christmas Day, and it goes to the day before Epiphany, so 12 days of Christmas. And so there's always two Sundays in Christmas, and this is the second Sunday. And this Sunday falls on, of course, New Year's. And the focus for this Sunday, when Christmas falls on, the second day of Christmas falls on New Year's, it's called the name of Jesus. And so that's really our focus today is the name of Jesus, Jesus being named. And so for our text today, we'll be reading part of the Christmas story, but we'll read one more verse than we've been reading in Luke chapter 2. And it's, again, the main point that we're kind of getting at today is Jesus' name and the event that of Jesus being named. So we'll read Luke chapter 2, and we begin with verse 15, and we'll read through verse 21. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. But when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. These are your words, O gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So New Year's, a lot of times our focus is on new beginnings, right? As the old year comes to an end, we kind of reflect on what happened that year, and sometimes we think about the good things, sometimes the bad things, and we wonder, like, okay, what could we do different? It's a lot of times a time of reflection, and then New Year's is a time of looking forward to the future and making plans, making resolutions. People, you know, they want to do differently in the new year, and they want to make changes, and it's just kind of like this is a fresh start. Okay, so it's like the slate is so wiped clean, so to speak, of the old year. And now we're starting a new one. And so it's kind of nice that our text leads us here to the name of Jesus, because we can bring the name of Jesus into the new year. It's like Jesus is, he's always new. And as Christians, we take his name with us. And so it's a good time to stop and to think about what does that name mean, the name of Jesus. And so that's what the text is today, and that's where why we've been led here. And so in our text, so there's shepherds in our story. And I think it's amazing that God chooses these common people. These are very, very ordinary people to reveal his plan of salvation. In fact, in many places in the scripture, we see God's plan of salvation unfolding in very, very ordinary settings. There's just ordinary people that it unfolds with. Like King David. Remember the story about King David? He's just a shepherd boy. Out of all Jesse's sons, he's the last one that they would have picked. They would normally pick the oldest ones, the biggest ones, the strongest ones. Well, David's the youngest, and he's just the one out in the field. But yet, he's the one God chooses to be his king, his great king that God would choose. And there's the nation of Israel itself. The nation of Israel is not a very great nation or anything, but God chooses to use this small nation, a nation that's really dwarfed by all the other powerful nations around it. But yet God chooses this small nation, very insignificant nation, to do his purpose, to bring forth his plan of salvation. And there's many, many other individuals in the scripture we can look at as examples, along with these shepherds, of how God has chosen to take very insignificant things and he's chosen to show his power and his salvation, his plan of salvation in these insignificant things. Like Moses is another example. When he was called to be the leader and to lead God's people out of Egypt, Moses was, he felt insignificant. He had, apparently had a stutter, which is nice for us preachers. Hey, when we get up to preach, we realize that Moses, one of these great people in the Old Testament, he couldn't even talk. He wasn't a good speaker. And he said, I can't do this. But God told him, well, first God asked him, who made man's mouth? And Moses had to acknowledge God did. And God said, if I made your mouth, I can put words in it. But then God gave Aaron to Moses. Aaron is Moses' brother. And Aaron spoke for Moses. But anyway, Moses isn't like this great person. But God, he uses him. He uses normal people. That's the point here. There's the prophets. You think of Isaiah, Jeremiah. They both had problems. Like, they felt insignificant. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the middle of a people of unclean lips. I can't speak your word. So then God just takes an angel that takes these hot coals, and he anoints Isaiah's lips, and he says, the Lord has done this, and now you can speak. And then Isaiah said, okay, send me. Or Jeremiah, he said, I'm just a youth. I don't know this. I can't say all these great things. But God says to Jeremiah, before you were even born, when you were in the womb, I knew you and I called you. So God can do these great things through very insignificant people, which we might think that we're insignificant. And we are in the grand scheme of things. We're not anything great. But yet God, through his Son, he comes to save the human race. And the shepherds are a prime example of this. Mary's a prime example of this. Mary's just a young girl. She's a poor girl. But God uses her to bring his Son into the world. And so that's what the shepherds teach us, that God takes these commoners and he reveals his plan of salvation to them. They're really the first ones that the announcement is made. The angels come down from heaven. They make a grand announcement to some shepherds. You know, I'm trying to think of somebody that would be as common as the shepherds. And I used to be a roofer when I was in New Hampshire. I was roofing and siding. Roofers are pretty common people. Like if you see a roofer in the store, nobody's bragging about roofers unless, of course, the roof is leaking, or like drywallers, or you know, these common people in construction, or maybe just a store clerk, or just a very common person. That's who these shepherds were. But God chose to come down in all his power and glory with angels and everything. It scared these shepherds, and he made this announcement to them. And so then they go and they say, we got to get to Bethlehem and see this thing. And then they go there and they say, hey, the angels told us this. And they're amazed to find out everything is exactly the way that the angel said it was going to be. And then they found this baby there. And so they told him this whole story. And so that's the wonderful thing about the shepherds. And that's kind of like a little lesson for us. That God, he came down to humanity. And it couldn't have been a more perfect group of people to come to than shepherds, common people, showing us that God comes down to our level, each of us. No matter where we are in life, God becomes human. Emmanuel, God with us, that God chose to actually live with us, with humanity, not with like high and lofty people, but really down to the lowest place, a poor girl, a bunch of shepherds. Here God is living with us. Our salvation came down to save us. And so that, now we get into the name itself, the name Jesus. The name Jesus has a meaning to it, actually. The meaning of the name Jesus means Savior. So Jesus is our Savior. That's what his name means, Savior. It says in Matthew chapter 1 that you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why his name is Jesus, because he's a Savior. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus' name is full of power. There's many places in the scripture that the name of Jesus is associated with power and strength. In Acts chapter 4, it talks about when Peter and John and all the disciples were healing in the name of Jesus. They said that there's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. Everything they did was in the name of Jesus. Remember Peter and John when they go to pray and they say, and they meet this lame man on the way. Remember that song? And he's like begging there on the side of the road, and then he tells them, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And the man jumps up and he's walking and dancing and he's praising God. Because of the name of Jesus, he was healed. So there, we have this name. As Christians, we have the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is salvation and power. And this name has always been powerful. This is the most powerful name. In Philippians, Paul says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So again, the power and the strength that's in this name, the authority that's in it. In Ephesians, Paul says that Christ is seated far above all authority and power, and he's also seated above every name that is named. That's the place that Christ occupies, this place of ultimate power. In our scripture reading today, you probably noticed that it was the benediction that Moses was telling Aaron, or God was telling Moses to tell Aaron, and Moses was telling Aaron that you should put God's name on his people and bless them. This is a benediction and a blessing we still use today, that God's name is put on us. As I close with the benediction today, just think of that. Just think of how God's name is put on you. This isn't a prayer. A lot of times when we say the benediction, us preachers have a bad habit of saying, may the Lord bless us and keep us. May he do this, may he do that. It's not a may or like a might or maybe thing. It's God told Aaron to say this. The Lord blesses you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord's making his face shine on you, which is smiling and looking at you with favor. It's like a thing that God is saying, do this, tell my people this. So I want you to think of that today as I close with the benediction, that the Lord is doing these things, that and I'm putting his name on you. And when you hear this, know that you are blessed. God is blessing you. His name is put on you. The name of Jesus Christ is put on you, which is your salvation, which is your strength, which is power, to overcome sin and over death and every possible thing that there could be. You know, you can take this name with you into the new year, and this name will be on you. It will protect you. It will forgive you everything. that Jesus came to do belongs to you, and his name has all power. And that's actually what our closing hymn today will be, take the name of Jesus with you. I think it's so appropriate that we take his name with us. Everywhere we go, we're just always reminded that I have the name of Jesus. That name that forgives me, that gives me power over everything, this is the name that we have. So our names are associated with sin and failure. That's what our names, if I'm only looking at Scott Sepala, you know, I don't have anything to brag about. My name is mud, really. You know, I've proven that over and over again, that I am a failure. But it doesn't stop there. And it doesn't stop there with any of us. But we have the name of Jesus put on us. And that name is associated with power. And that name is associated with my salvation, with your salvation. And so we confess the name of Jesus. And it's like I was telling the kids the other day, that we brag about Jesus. We can brag about Jesus. That's the thing we do. We don't brag about anything about us. It's not okay to be bragging about things about us that we did. But when it comes to Jesus, what he did for us, we can brag about him. We can just constantly talk about him and say, have you heard what Jesus did for me? Jesus is so great. God is so good. We can really just brag about Jesus and about his name. And so that's what I want to share with you today. I want you to go into this new year thinking about the name of Jesus and thinking about what that name means, and rejoice. Rejoice in Jesus. Rejoice in your salvation. The name of Jesus, it means salvation for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we will close with the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.